limitations that you have come to accept as your container, your security, your realm of comfort and influence. And that's our family. The biggest thing is our families. Sometimes our education is our jobs. We think that that identifies us, that gives us status, gives us weight in life because of the fact I come from this geographical area. My family was teachers and instructors, and they worked in plants and all this kind of stuff. So therefore, we think because that gives us an identity, we think that's who we are. And that's what God wants to do the rest of our life. Not necessarily so. So God was telling Abraham, I need you to leave everything that you thought was who you were. Everything that gave you identity. You feel good around your family because your family is security. If you ain't got nothing, you got family supposed to. If you can follow anybody when hard times happen, it should be your family. You know, your family should have your back. But God said, I need you to leave all of them. Because you're feeling that they give you identity, they give you strength, your security is in them. It's not. You got to identify, apostles say this all the time, that God is my source. God is your source. You got to come to revelation. God is my source. And until I get that revelation in my spirit, I'll never break away from that which I have security in, which I think that defines me. I'll never walk away from it. You know, I say no to it. This is what he says. I love this. Watch what he says. So number two is a second aspect. God said to him, I want you to leave your country. So make a note of that. That's going to be on your quiz. This is what he says. In a move of God, the last paragraph, in a move of God, one of the recurring message we hear is that God wants us to leave our comfort zone. The reason we must leave our comfort zone is that we must have nothing but God to fall back on. If we're going to tap into wealth, the wealth of heaven, that's powerful. That's an awakening. God must be the only thing that we are willing to fall back on. We have a fall back on. It's God. So therefore, you realize the acceptance of men, you can cast it to the wind. Because, in fact, when God called you, it does not make you popular. Or make you acceptable with everybody. So you got to be willing to walk away from human relationships in order to obey God. You know, there will be times when human relationships will want you to be a part of what they're doing, but God has given you an assignment. So you got to determine whether I'm going to go to the party, or go out to the mall, or go to the movie thing, or the baby shower, or whatever the family is doing, or am I going to obey what God called me to do? So I have to determine who am I following. Who's going to define me, what my identity is going to be. Either I'm going to obey God or obey my family. And sometimes when you don't make certain events, family get kind of irritable. You know, because they don't understand the urgency of your identity is with God, not with them. It's with God, it's not with them. And so, therefore, they get offended. So you got to prepare for that being part of your journey, that people will get offended. Because they don't understand your love for God, that God is your source. And not the job. You know, not the family, not your education. So that has to come to understanding within your spirit, man. This is what he says. I recently spoke at a spiritual hunger conference in Spokane, Washington. Haiti Baker was one of the other speakers. In one of the talks, she gently reminded the North American audience that too many of us have a B plan, ready to go in case God doesn't show up. Ready to go instead in case God don't show up. You see, and so many people in the back of their minds have a B plan. You know, God give you a calling, give you a vision. God tell you to do certain things, or certain things a certain way. And sometimes when you go to obey God, you run into barriers. I mean, good people doing a good thing, but you run into something the enemy has set up, like a trap or roadblock for you. It seems like it's harder. It seems like ain't no way I'm gonna be able to get this done. But I know God told me to do it.
Right.
I know God told me to come follow apostles. I know God told me to do this assignment. God told me to do this in this ministry. God told me to go to prison, is whatever it is. But seems like I'm getting all kind of roadblocks trying to get to where God told me to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, but that's the thing you have to understand, that when God calls you to do something, he never really tells you everything's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just tells you the destiny point. I want you to do this, and this is what it's going to look like. This is what we're going to come to. But all the things in between, the go and the finish, is never explained.
Right.
And so you have to be willing to trust God with an A plan without a B plan.
Amen.
I can't bail out of this.
Amen.
I got an assignment. No matter who says no, no matter who don't want to go, no matter how many people show up, God gave me an assignment.
Amen.
And it's personal. And see, and that's the way you got to get in your spirit, that I'm on an assignment from God, and God has called me, God has saved me, God has delivered me, God has placed me in a certain ministry, I'm on a certain leader, and no matter what my family say, who come or who leave the ministry, God gave me the assignment.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not leaving the assignment because other people decide they want to leave and walk away from it. You got to become a stickler for the assignment that God put in your life, because God's the only one that knows the outcome of it.
Yeah.
He's the owner of the outcome of it, not you. Because you don't see everything.
Amen.
We don't see everything. You know, I wish I was going to walk in the ministry and always had money in it. You know, and it does. I mean, it never really goes out. But the idea, there are challenges that comes with it.
There's
challenges that comes with it. And you got God to take to build all these buildings and get all this school lined up and get this done and send money to all of these countries. And stuff. God, where that money coming from? You know? But God know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
He know where it is. But you have to focus your insight on what God told you, regardless of who's here, who's not, who's giving, who's not giving. Just stay focused.
Yeah.
And just be prayerful. Keep your eyes on God.
Amen.
He got it.
Amen.
So take it in your personal life. Whatever God's called you to do, whatever God's given you in ministry, God got it. And he's going to make sure everything comes in line. Because he got it. You're going to have the obstacles. You're going to have the roadblocks. That's all part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But God always call you to win.
Amen.
You always call you to win.
Mm-hmm.
You always come out triumphant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is about building a relationship, a trust relationship with him. Okay? So that was number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's get rid of the B plan. Okay? Get rid of the B plan. If you have any other idea that God can do any other kind of way, just forget about it. He's going to do exactly what he told you he's going to do. And God doesn't change his mind.
Yeah.
And he doesn't change his mind. The Bible says, 30%, the gifts and the calling of God is about repentance.
Yes.
See, if God called you, whether you obey it or not, you're accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the glory, I ask you, what about that gift and call I brought in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There ain't no preachers in my family. That's why I called you. You know. So, yeah, he always holds us accountable for the gifts and calling on our lives. Okay, let's go to number three for our time. He said the third aspect of Abraham's process was God's next statement. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your family. Then it said, interestingly, when Abraham obeyed God, he took his family with him. What could God have been saying other than, I am breaking up your family? Well, our family defines the circumstances of our birth. Our family defined it. You and I gain an identity from those who we grow up with. It is very difficult for this identity to shift and expand once it's been established in the perceptions of those around you. And this is why it's hard to break with your family. Because I was birthed in this. It gives me my identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to ignore them as my brother or sister or mom and dad, to go over here to another church that's not a traditional church home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us grew up pretty much where our mom or father went to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe our brothers and aunties and stuff was there too. But then God called you out of that church and said, no, you need to be over there.
Right.
Why am I nobody over there? That's kidding me. You know, so now the family's looked at you sideways because, in fact, what you doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
Following that man. You know, so they start throwing stuff at you at the Thanksgiving dinner like they're throwing a piece of turkey at you. You know, because gonna make you a turkey. You know, because of the fact you're different.
Right.
You're on a road nobody else traveling on. But sometimes that becomes the breaking that God separates you from your family traditions to take you to another arena, another destiny. You know, and eventually certain family members will break out because you broke out. And go to the next level. You see? So don't feel like that you're in error because God called you out of your comfort zone or your identity among your kin people. You know, no, obey God. Obey God because it's going to change the next generation of your family.
Amen.
It'll change the next generation of your family. So accept that as change in your life. Sometimes we got to leave the family church in order to go where God wants you to go. Okay? He tells a story here following number three, and he talks about, you know, being in a family, and his name is Joey, and he said this guy now is a CEO of a business. This guy got position, he got wealth, you know, but when he comes to the family meeting, nobody sees his position or his titles.
Mm-hmm.
They refer him back to Joey. And his dad said, oh, you're always going to be Joey to me, you know, because nobody recognizes his position. And this is why God separates you from your family, because of the spirit of familiarity. People don't recognize what God is doing in your life, that God has exhorted you, and God has positioned you to another level. So people only see you the way the environment that you grew up in, and they still call you by your nickname. You know, they still talk about your past. They don't talk about your future and your destiny. They were talking about your past, what they thought of you, instead of what God has created you to be. You see, and that's why you got to get away from familiar areas because of the fact of the spirit of familiarity. They do not recognize who you are. The Bible said Jesus could not do many miracles in his own home because of that spirit of familiarity. You know, he healed a few people, you know, but that was part of his synagogue. That's all he could do. Because people kept referring him back to Mary's little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph's son.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw him as the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that becomes a part of the breaking, why he can break away.
Mm-hmm.
In order for God to give him my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, pray God their eyes be open to see it. Okay? So, number four is on page 125, second paragraph. Closing sentence in the second paragraph on page 125. And finally he said to us, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your father's house. See, next paragraph says, this issue of leaving our father's house is the thing I want you to focus on for the rest of this chapter. Our father's house is a place where we receive our father's identity, our father's covering, and in particular, our father's social economic status. So, God was telling Abraham, I need you to break away from this. I need you to break away. I need you to leave all this security area, all these comfort zones where familiarity exists. Everybody know you. You know, you're comfortable around these people. I need you to go somewhere where people don't know you at all. They don't recognize your title. They don't recognize nothing about you because they don't know you. You're a perfect stranger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking you to new territory, new status, quote, in the kingdom of heaven, that I'm going to give you an identity. And we say in Genesis 12, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make your father of many nations. Those who bless you, I'm going to bless them. Those who curse you, I'm going to curse you. In order for all the families of the earth to be blessed,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a whole different identity. But you got to go through some stuff and leave some stuff to get there.
Yes.
And get there. And that's the thing that all of us here in this room have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deal with that because, in fact, there are going to be the calling of God that's on your life, the assignment of God that's on your life, demands you to only have God as your source.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is my source. It has to come to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get there, you're going to have a B plan the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job, it's not my education, it's not my status quo with people, nor my portfolio, or whatever I got possession of wealth, that is not my identity.
Amen.
All these things comes about because of my identity.
Amen.
So God is saying, if I can get you defined and know who you are, and what I called you to do in life, then all these other things are going to be added to you. But you first need to get this straight.
Amen.
You first need to get this straight. There's going to be a place where you're not accepted. You're tolerated and not celebrated. It's okay for you to be here, but we really don't want you here. This is why we didn't invite you to the party last year. It's your sanctified self. You want to come in here and pray. Ain't it about a prayer meeting? You know? But the idea is they want to separate you from the group because of your new identity. Your new identity in Christ Jesus. So you gotta accept that. This is who I am. This is my life now. You know? And so I gotta cling to this lifestyle and stick with this lifestyle regardless when I'm confessing that God has made me the head and not the tail, the above only and never beneath. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I have all my bills paid. Thank God everything is canceled. Thank God all my needs are met. God is everything, and you got 10 credit cards need to be paid. And you're confessing that, and your kinfolks know you say, Michelle, she be spending all this stuff, and she catch the bus to go to work. You know? But see, they don't realize your identity. They're looking at your condition, but not your identity. Your identity is telling you who you really are. And what's rightfully yours is, so you're calling those things that be not as though they already were, but they're looking at the now. They're thinking, no, just you don't have that. You know, you're not debt free yet. Yeah, but my spirit identity, I am. You see? And so because you talk faith and you walk in faith and believe in God, even though you're going through the wilderness of your life or a testing of your life, yet you understand who you are, but because they are spiritually blind, they cannot see the real you.
That's right. That's right.
But you see it.
Amen.
Because you're going somewhere.
Amen.
To a land whose builder is maker is God.
Amen. That's right.
And God has something way bigger prepared for me. So I'm like walking in my dream, but you can't see my dream.
My God. Come on.
But the end result would testify that I am what I said I was.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
And that's why you got to continue confessing faith, walking in faith, obeying your vision, because it's going to bring you into the place God called you to be in.
Amen.
And have the weight and the status that God says you're going to have.
Amen.
Even though it may not look like it now. But I am what God says I am.
Amen.
I can do what God says I can do, and I can have everything God says I can have.
Amen.
And I got it now.
Amen.
Because faith has to always be now. It can never be tomorrow. It can never be next year, 2 years from now. Faith always has to be now. So everything I confess, I got to confess it in the now, because God is working in the now. So future going to take care of itself.
Amen.
If I operate the now and possess the now. And so this becomes very important to your identity. So those are four things that I have to understand. My identity, leaving my family, leaving my comfort zone, leaving that which I am familiar with, and understanding that I have no B plan. Only plan I got is to obey God.
Amen.
With or without people, I'm going to obey God.
Amen.
You know, ups and downs, all that's going to happen, thank God for it, is teaching me to be faithful.
Amen.
You know, so those things are going to happen. So, that's four things, right? Okay. Let me take you to page 126. The second paragraph, Miller Ways, what he says here, I hope to expose and confront the way you see things. Can you find that in the second paragraph? Miller Ways. Okay. I hope to expose and confront the way you see things, because you are called to be rulers. You are called to be rulers. Mark that as five. I'm called to rule. I'm called to rule. You're called to be a prince and princess. You are royalty. You are wealthy beyond your wildest imagination. But unless you think like a wealthy person, you won't be able to handle your identity role. Your identity, your role, your responsibility, and resources. So you're telling me my mindset has changed because culture is mindset. So I got to change my mindset where I am. You see, I can't wait to get to the change. No, my change now is what's going to change my condition.
Amen.
So the first change happened on the inside, which is my mindset. So now I got to think wealthy. I got to think having all things. I got to think that's nothing I can't have. There's no place I can't go. I got to think that way from within and believe it and be confident in it. Walk in the store knowing I own it. You see, walk in the place knowing I can have anything in it. You know, having that confidence that in God, this is what God called me to be. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. And so whether I possess the wealth or not, I am what God says I am.
Amen.
So my mindset has to be wealth. And so I talked to you about last Tuesday about exercising your mindset, exercising your wealth,
yes,
your position by going to the restaurant and adding more to your tip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? By going to the restaurant and buying more than what you're familiar with buying. Get something else different. Buying a $75 steak, you know, even though it's the size of a Big Mac, you know. But the idea is, it's changing my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing my mindset. I had to exercise these muscles in the faith realm in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so little by little, I start taking my giving up to another level, little by little, just tapping in, going from $5 to $10 to $20. I tell my wife, when we tell our testimony all the time, we first came to Dad, and we came to Prosperity Revival.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I first came. Prosperity Revival, all the revivals I could have came to. You know? Back at the Prosperity Revival. You know? And I said, in Prosperity Revival, they get ready to take up an offering, and I only had $4 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they Ursula passed me envelope. So what is envelope for? You know? So, you know, because you ain't got what everybody else got, you're like, okay, put this in there. Don't put your name in it. You know, that's where we was going. That's where we were going. And so I gave it to her. She said, no, you take it. You know? And I said, we'll go into that same cycle that Pastor Phillips went through. You know, so, and going through that, you know, I'm ready to put it in. God said, no, say, put your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the harvest need to know where it's coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, man, I'm a Passover church. He ain't put my $4 in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in there, and I just trusted God. I said, God, that ain't right. You know, I felt guilty, felt my conscience was beating me down. You know, I'm at the church sweating, man, just $4. Man, you're right. I was trying to figure out who I did and who did that. I'm going to all kinds of stuff in my mind. You know, not realizing God was breaking my mindset from a traditional setting.
Amen.
From a traditional setting. And so we went to that $4 giving, and now we have almost $100,000 a year giving.
Oh.
But it started from that $4 seed.
Amen.
Discovering my identity.
Amen.
In that Prosperity Revival. And once that happened, man, it opened up doors.
Amen.
It took the shame, the fear away. We had to go to that area, all that kind of stuff, but it took it away from us. Then little by little, we started exercising our muscles.
Amen.
On $20, and $40, and offering $50, and we kept on the ladder. And your dad say, one day y'all will give $10,000. I'm like, shoo! $10,000? I ain't saw $10,000 that one time. You know? But eventually, we got there. From 5,000 to 10,000, I said, we did it. It was about 4 years later, but we did it. You know, but those muscles have been exercised all the time. The challenge, the pushing has been exercised. It changed our financial status. It changed our financial life. You know, and now we're in places and doing things we never thought we would be able to do. But it came from obedience. And I'm so obedient, I ain't got about 15 seconds left. See y'all next week. God bless y'all. I thank y'all for going home.
Yes, sir.
Wow. We got blessed tonight.
Yeah.
Three times. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Mm-hmm.